25, verse number 41. We're going to read. Praise God. Did I say Matthew 25? 41. Amen. Technical, please help us this morning. 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's continue. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, can we go back, please? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Praise the Lord. You know, this tells us how important it is to Jesus to reach out to our community. It is so important to Jesus for us to give or lend a helping hand. Amen. It is so important to Jesus to feed the homeless, to feed the less fortunate, to clothe them. It is so important to Jesus for us to go into the prisons. Nothing in this scripture said they had to do, their reason for being in prison has to be a little lower than, you know, murder. What other reasons do people go to prison? Assault. Drug dealer, gang banging, shoplifting, glory to God, child pedophile. Jesus is not concerned on the reasons why. He's not concerned on the fact that they are on the streets as vets. Vets meaning veterans. And, you know, I see that a lot. That's the one that I see the most, vet. You know, hungry, whatever. He is not concerned in this scripture that we just read. He is not concerned on the reason why they are there. What he's concerned about is the fact that he wants us to take care of them. He wants us to reach out to them. It is so important to him that he considers it a crime for us not to do something as a church. He considers it a crime because the result is, he said, go back to that scripture, that last one. Go back to that last one. No, the one that you had. Never mind. Praise God. He feels that it is so important that you or the individuals, let me not say you, because we're going to do it. Amen. As a church, we're going to do it. Amen, somebody. The individuals that are not in this vision of Jesus Christ will be cast into the everlasting lake of fire. I'm not making it up. Praise God, we read it. It is so important to God for us to reach out to those that are less fortunate. It doesn't matter how they got there. It doesn't matter the fact that you feel they should get a job and should stop. You know, I'm from New York, and some of these individuals, it is a profession. Panhandling is a profession. The day that I was, well, how will I say it? They hit me big. They almost knocked me out. I was on the train, and I saw a lady with a busted face, bleeding. And she was like, she just got mugged, this, and that. I've seen all kinds of, there was one that she was saying that she was HIV positive, and she told her life history, and she needed help. But this particular one, she was busted. Her face was bleeding, fresh wound. And she was saying she just got mugged. Somebody did this and did that. And, you know, she just needs a few dollars to get home. Look, everybody was moved. Fresh wound. They gave her money. She collected. Everybody was like, you know, just trying to get home, get some rest. It's going to be okay. She was well-dressed. She wasn't homeless. But she said she just got mugged. That was on the 6th train. And then I was going somewhere else, and I took the let's say, the R train. Another day, busted wound. Wound was open, fresh. And she was saying the same stuff. So they mugged me. I said, oh, the devil is a liar. Everybody, I was just looking like, for real? For real? People rushed and gave her money. I was shocked. How are you going to bust yourself? How are you going to bust yourself in the face just to get you some money? It's a profession for some. It's a profession. There was a documentary that I watched on TV that they said they were following this lady. She would go to one side of town and do this business. And then when she finished, she'd get in her car, change back to her regular clothes. She's going to the upper side. Going on up to the east side. She went to where she had a house. I mean, she was well put. She was having a good life. Your $5 that you gave to her, it's nothing compared to what she had. She had a home, and you still trying to, you know what I'm saying? We still trying to, you know. She had a home. But let me tell you something. It is not your concern what these individuals are doing with the money. Of course, we need to use discretion, and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying everybody that we see on the street we should give money to. I'm not saying we should feed into anybody's habit. But what I am saying is that we must be conscious of the Spirit of the Lord that gives us these instructions, because there are genuine individuals that need help. And we cannot use, because there are some bad apples amongst the bunch, we cannot say that the whole orchid of apples is ruined. Jesus is so concerned about these individuals that he said that if we are not doing it, it means that we are ignoring him. Because if we do it to them, then we have done it to those. If we do it to them, then we have done it to him. If we do not do it to them, then we have ignored him. And he said the price is being in the lake of fire. Brethren, I want you to understand, here at Salvation Center, our vision and our goal. In fact, if they say anything, what is it? What does Salvation Center stand for? We are a helps ministry. Our goal and our job is to help our community. There are certain things that the government cannot meet. There are certain things that the government cannot do. It is up to the church to rise up and meet the need of the things that the government could not finish. Amen, somebody. At Salvation Center San Antonio, we have a ministry called J Factor. J Factor is the Jesus Factor. Based on this scripture that we just read, J Factor is going to grow by the grace of God to other things. One of the things that we do right now is we do food distribution. In the future, we plan to have halfway homes. Individuals that are coming out of prison. Individuals that are getting on their feet again. Let me tell you, we met at this food distribution an individual that was a chemist, PhD holder, and was homeless. Because something happened in his life, I think with his marriage or something, that he had a nervous breakdown. After that nervous breakdown, he was not able to ever recover and bring himself back to a life where he can run his life and focus and do a chemist, PhD, on the street. When we are doing these things, we are considering those that life has just been hard for them. We are considering those that needs that break. How many of you have ever heard of this show called Undercover Boss? I watched this because now it's on Netflix, right? I watch this every time Pastor and I watch it. He's crying. Oh my God. I'm crying. The children are crying because it's so moving. You see people just like I'm looking at you right now. We all looking good. We, for the ladies, hopefully the men ain't got no makeup on. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we look good. We put on our clothes, but no one knows what we're really going through. No one can really see the depth of the pain that some of us are carrying. No one can understand that some of us are still trying to make ends meet. No one really understands the pain of being separated from your family. No one can really understand that some of us are going through a turmoil on the inside of us. But we smile and we understand how to do the lingo. How are you? It is well. I always tell people, if you really want to know how somebody is, don't say, how are you? In fact, half of the time, we're so busy, we're so caught up in what we are thinking, we ask a question, we don't bother for the response, we just move on. Hey, Sister Biadu, how are you? How's everything going? And we keep on moving, not waiting for a response. We are not sensitive to people's look. You are not focused enough to look beyond the makeup. You are not focused enough to realize this Sunday, this lady does not have it together. Something is off. Something is wrong. Just take a moment to say, hey, sis, how are you really doing? Do you have a moment? If you ask her how she's doing, she's going to be like, everything is okay. It is well. It is well. It is well. But if you take a moment, you're not yourself today, and you sit down. Is everything, you just press just a little bit further, then she might even just burst right there and say, I'm going through this, and I'm going through that, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I don't know how to. And perhaps you have the solution in your hand. But because you are so focused on just you, you are not able to see that something is going on with the person that is seated next to you in church. You're thinking that the pastor got to see everybody. You're thinking that it is the pastor's responsibility to know what is going on in the life of everyone. You think that he has raised ministers to be the ones to only do the ministration to the people. Yet there's somebody sitting next to you and they're going through some hard times. Jesus in this scripture is not saying that it's only the man of God that he has put in charge of the church is the only one that's supposed to do this ministry. He is not saying it is only his wife that is supposed to do this ministry. He is saying to the body of Christ, when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was homeless, you did not clothe me. When I was this, when I was that, you did not. That means you are selfish. That means you are self-consumed. That means you have no time for somebody else. That means there is no trail behind you as you're walking into the gates of heaven. That means you are going to heaven by yourself. And that is not going to happen because that's not the vision of Jesus Christ. Jesus came because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And before he left, he trained and he groomed 12 because he knew that these 12 are the ones that are really going to do the job. He only came to die. The only purpose of Jesus was to die. He was born to die. You are not born to die. You are born to be a disciple. You are born to lead the body of Christ. You are born so that many may be won to this Jesus that died. Our purpose is not to stay amongst each other and to fellowship just amongst one another. Our purpose is to minister to the ones that Jesus said we need to minister to. He is saying, these are the ones that I died for. I didn't just die for you, ma'am, because you have a degree in engineering. I did not just die for you. This is what Jesus is saying to you. I didn't just die because you have a degree in biology. I did not just die because you have a degree or you're well put together or you have a home. It is not all the beautiful people alone that Jesus died for. He died for everyone. The Bible says that he loved the world, not the qualities of the world. It's talking about the people. Jesus died for the people. And I mentioned he didn't die, or he wasn't born to do anything else but die. You were born to multiply. He said, I'm only here for a short period of time. You know what? If it was this time and Jesus died at 33, we all will be crying. Oh, God, he died young. It wasn't his time. He didn't grow old. That's what we were saying about Miles Monroe. He was 60. Oh, all the books he wrote. How did he? When your time is up, your time is up. How do you determine that your time is up when you have fulfilled destiny? Does it matter whether it's at 30 or at 40? Jesus Christ, his whole purpose was to be born to die. And at 33 years old, he fulfilled his destiny. He was able, before he left, he was able to groom 12, really 11. But let's say 12, because without Judas, it was impossible for Jesus to die for us. All things work together for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so because Jesus came for the purpose of God, even the devil was working in the favor and in the line of what is supposed to be. Our job is to reach out. Our job is to make sure that he did not die in vain. We have been trained, and he said, I am even giving you greater than what I have. Because greater works, somebody say greater works. Greater works, when Jesus was about to leave, he said, greater works shall you do. Greater works. I will give you every power. Because the power, all power has been given to me by my Father. And I am giving it to you. Why am I giving you all power? So that you can win souls. So that you can reach out to the community. So you can reach out to those that do not know Christ. So that you can go outside of the household of faith and make a difference. Brethren, at Salvation Center, we are planning to have a prison ministry. At Salvation Center, we're planning. We have a land right now, for those of you that are not aware. Besides the fact that we have bought this property, we have almost 3-acre land on the southeast side, let me say, southwest side. And this land, the vision that Pastor has is that we're going to build homes as a church on this land. So individuals like that chemist with a PhD that just needs a little bit of help, a way to get back on his feet again and to keep on moving, or people on the streets that have that same thing, they just need a break. The reason why I ask you if you watch Undercover Cop is because these individuals, they're going to work every day. There was a particular guy who goes for dialysis, and he's been doing dialysis for over 15 years. And the boss himself, the job that this guy was doing, he wasn't able to do it. He was struggling to pick up the garbage. This guy works for the waste management company. And the CEO could not even hardly, he said, you have 10 minutes to pick up all the garbage. The wind was blowing everywhere. The CEO was finding a difficult time doing this job. Yet this guy, his eyes are already yellow. He's halfway in and halfway out. But he still has to work. And no one knows on the job what he's going through, that he's actually on dialysis. Because when he comes to work, he's smiling and he does his job with excellence. Just because everything looks okay doesn't mean everything is okay. Then this individual at the end, the whole purpose, for those of you that don't know the show Undercover Boss, at the end, they tell them that, you know, the boss is undercover, and then he finally reveals himself, or she finally reveals herself, and says, I'm your boss. You're doing a fabulous job. And we realize that you have all these issues. They're giving them stuff like $100,000, $200,000. The maximum I saw that they're giving them cash, $250,000 to handle whatever they need to. Come and see how these people are broken, and they're crying and they're weeping. They're saying, I never thought in my life, I didn't think that this thing can ever happen to me, that someone will be able to see and solve the problem and give a solution to all of my problems. Church, we are here on assignment, not just to care about ourselves alone, but to care about those that Jesus died for. As much as he died for you, he gave you what you have for a reason. The Bible says that he is the one that gives the power to get wealth. If you think it's because of your education, you better come correct, because there's a lot of people with your same degree and they can't find a job. There's a lot of people with your same degree and they're out on the street, except because it was the grace of God that is covering you. So God has allowed you to be blessed so that you can turn around to be a blessing. Because what I have realized about God is that he has the power to take you out or take me out at any given time. Last time, which was 2 Sundays ago, I was talking about Tamar and how the man that she married, she didn't even marry the man. She was given. Because in those days, women have no right. The only thing that gives value to a woman is the fact that she produces children. And then that would give her some sort of value in her husband's house. And I said that, you know, based on the story, the man that she was married to, the Bible says that God said that he was wicked, and so he killed. killed him. Do you think the devil can kill you without the knowledge of God? It is impossible for the devil to take your life except God say it is time. There is nobody in this world or in this life that can take you out. So everything we do, it is in reverence to God, understanding that he is the one that gives us the power to be able to do anything and everything that we do. Where am I going with this? We have all these visions of the things that we want to do. But right now, we have a ministry. And it's called the J Factor. And what we do is every third Saturday, we do food distribution here. We have partnered with San Antonio Food Bank. We get food. We purchase food from them so that we can distribute it. So technically, we are a distributor for San Antonio Food Bank. Because anytime people go to them, they tell them, we don't give the food, but we will tell you the places that will give you the food that we have provided for them. So every third Saturday, we all, you know, because for whatever reason, some people feel like it's only a particular group of people that's a part of this ministry. What I'm saying to you this morning, church, is that it is the church ministry. And if you are having difficulty, you have a difficult schedule, you don't want to stop in traffic, you're not doing any other type of charity work, I want you to be a part of the J Factor that goes on here every third Saturday at 9 a.m. What do? We come, we package food, we're not giving them trash. Because Jesus is not expecting us to give them trash. We spend quality money purchasing things. And we put these things in boxes. And these individuals come. They know. Sister Wumi is the head of that particular ministry. We have served on a Saturday about how many people?
On average, we've served about 180 people.
180 individuals come to Salvation Center every third Saturday to get food. Some of them are going through so much. We are, as much as we know Jesus, he sees us as his ministers. You don't have to be ordained minister in the house of God to be able to minister to these individuals. I remember there was a time I came and I was on the line helping them distribute the food and all kinds of stuff. This lady came, arm broken. And she said, she's bright smile, still laughing, still full of joy. She said that her husband broke her arm. She's a battered woman. She's going through her husband broke her arm, and she said that she has to go for surgery. And she was asking, I think she asked Sister Wumi to pray for her. Many, 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 many people with so many different stories. What am I saying in essence? We all need to be a part of this ministry. It is not just for a group of people. Because Sister Wumi is the head of that particular ministry, doesn't mean it's just her and the people that she works with. This Saturday coming is the food distribution. I would like everyone, as much as possible, if you have to work, then it's understandable. But if you can make time to come and do what Jesus is telling us to do, I believe that God will be looking down and saying, yes, well done, my good and faithful servant. Every third Saturday, 9 a.m., it doesn't fail. Every third Saturday at 9 a.m., we come together as a church to distribute food. But we're not just distributing food. We are also reaching out. I'm sure everybody here under the sound of my voice, you can pray. Some people, they just need a hug. They just need someone to listen to their story. In fact, some of them, they don't even know what prayer is. They just want you to listen. They just want you to show them love. Let them know, you know, How you give someone something sometimes makes a difference. You know, you can give someone something grudgingly, like, I didn't really want to give this to you. Just like sometimes when, you know, we're trying to give our tithe and offering, we go up like, oh, God, I could use this money this month. Glory to God. I got bills to pay, but I don't want to be disobedient. And we do it grudgingly. You know, really, that's not appropriate because the Bible says that we should bring our tithe and offering with thanksgiving in our hearts. Like, Lord, I'm ready to give this to you because I know, oh, you're going to do something great. So people are able to determine how, if we're doing this grudgingly, like, okay, they said we should come, so I'm here. You know, let's hurry up and get it over with. You know, we want to go there with an attitude to serve, an attitude to love, an attitude to make them feel great, especially around the holidays. I remember there was another lady that came, and she was telling me that she has not spoken to her children in over 10 years. And she feels it the most around the holidays. Let me tell you, brethren, we come from different cultures, and we all come from different walks of life. It's not everybody. You know, some cultures, you reverence your parents. You reverence those that are older. You know, that's the culture. Well, not every culture is like that. Some people don't care nothing about their parents. And so for an individual not to speak to their parents, I think she said she had either 4 or 5 children. One is incarcerated. The other ones that are out, they do not speak to her, period. She's by herself. So that day, even though she came for food, I just sat with her for a moment and I hugged her. She started crying. She said, I just feel so loved. She just started, it was so emotional for me too that I, you know, like that show that I was telling about, Undercover Boss, the boss is crying with the individual when they're both crying. It's so moving. I want to encourage you to be a part of this, what we're doing at Salvation Center, and come and see how you can be a blessing. Amen. Amen. The Lord will bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. What I really wanted us to do this Sunday is to pray. The enemy is wicked. And, you know, he will wait to the very last moment of a year to start, really begin to play with people's lives and people's emotions. I was saying to them 2 Thursdays ago when I was leading prayer, there was a gentleman who has a store. I used to live in Dayton, Ohio, and this gentleman owned a store, a convenience store, sells, you know, just basic stuff. And he said to himself, you know what? This is New Year's Eve. I'm going to go ahead and close the shop so that I can go to church and let the new year meet me in the house of God. As he was rounding up, he shut down everything, closed down his register. As he was leaving, when he was locking his door, it'd be about half hour to midnight, he made it to the 31st, half hour before crossing over into the new year. As he was locking his door, there was a drive-by shooting, and they shot him dead right there and then. Brethren, because we're in December, it's not time to relax now. Like, oh, we made it December, we made it. There are still a few days. And what has been rising up in my spirit since last Thursday is that we need to pray and cancel every spirit of death. The Bible talks about the children of Israel. Because no matter what, we must realize that death is a part of life. Amen, somebody. Amen. Death is a part of life, and it will come visiting. And everything is in the eyes and in the mind of God. And he forewarned his people. Besides saying, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will hear them, and I will heal their land. He specifically told the children of Israel that was in the foreign land. He said, I want to destroy the firstborns of this people. But because you are in the midst of them, this is how I'm going to separate you. Because when the spirit of death comes, it's like a wave. And the only way that you are going to be distinguished is I want you to take blood and put it on your doorpost so that when the spirit of death comes visiting, it will pass over you. I want you to stand on your feet. Brethren, the last time, about a year ago, about around this time, I said to the congregation, we need to pray. Let's pray and let's bind the spirit of death. You see, when we say this type of prayers, you never know who. You never know who the devil wants to make angry, who he wants to make cry, or whatever have you. And I said to them, let us pray against the spirit of death. Maybe some people didn't take me seriously. But nothing happens without warning. The Bible says that I will do nothing until I tell my servant the prophet. There will be a hint, not just on one individual, but a few people will see some things. Well, I'm telling you again, brethren, it's time for us to pray, and we need to pray against the spirit of death. So what you're going to do is we are all going to lift up our voices right now, and you're going to say, I cancel every spirit of death. Every spirit of death that wants to visit my household, every spirit of death that wants to visit my land, every spirit of death that wants to visit my dwelling place. Come on, brethren, I want you to lift up your own voice and cancel that spirit of death, that in this 2014, you will not experience death. Your family will not experience death. In the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit of death in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice, brethren. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Say, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every spirit of death. In the name of Jesus, I cancel it. In the name, the Bible says that the name of Jesus is above every other name. The Bible says at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue that shall confess. I want you to say, no death shall come near my dwelling place in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. The Bible says that they should put the blood on their doorpost so that the spirit of death will pass over. I want you to begin with yourself, from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. Say, I soak myself in the blood of Jesus. Don't just say the blood. Say the blood of Jesus. And then begin to cover your spouse, cover your children, cover your parents, cover everybody in your household, cover your household, the blood of Jesus. I cover myself in the blood of Jesus. I cover myself in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus, it speaks. The blood of Jesus, it speaks. Say, blood of Jesus, begin to speak on my behalf. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Brethren, I feel like I need to give some understanding to some individuals that may not be familiar on spiritual warfare. For some individuals that do not understand the purpose of using the blood of Jesus as a weapon or as a protection, what we're doing right now is what we call, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. And one of the most powerful things to use in spiritual warfare is the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Why the blood? The Bible says, see, in general, The blood speaks. The Bible says that the life of a thing is in the blood. Your life is not in this body. Your life is not in your smile, like people normally say. Your life is in the blood. When blood is drained from your body, you no longer exist. The life of a thing, the Bible says, is in the blood. Now, it has been said, you probably have heard, when they say when people are killed without reason, bloodshed, they say that the blood is crying out. You know, there are different stories we've heard, even in America. Sometimes they say that the blood of the slaves that are killed without reason, their blood is crying out. So in a particular place where they really did a lot of bloodshed, innocent lives of slaves, things don't work together for them. That city, there's issues. I mean, turmoil. They have problems in that city or that state. It is the same thing with people from maybe African backgrounds. They say that, you know, if you shed innocent blood, that blood begins to speak against you. Amen. Now, the Bible says something, that the blood of Jesus, it speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Let me explain to some of us what that really means. Abel was an individual that was killed without justice. Or killed, innocent blood shed, and his blood was crying up to God, Abba Father, for justice. Lord, vindicate me. But the Bible is saying that the blood of Jesus is stronger than that blood. It's crying out for you for justice. The blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel, meaning that the blood of Abel is only asking for justice. But we must understand that there is power in the name of Jesus, and there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance in the blood of Jesus. There is satisfaction in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was shed so that your blood does not have to be shed. Brethren, I'm telling you, we need to pray concerning the spirit of death. And the prayer is, Lord, I cover myself, I cover my spouse, I cover my children, I cover my parents in the blood of Jesus. In 2014, let me tell you, 2014 is on its way out. The prayer is that we will not go out with 2014. We will not end with 2014, but we will cross over to the other side. I want you to use the blood as a weapon and say, Satan, the blood is against you. In my life, I soak myself in the blood of Jesus, the blood that delivers, the blood that saves, the blood that makes whole. I cover my spouse from the crowns of his head to the soles of his feet in the blood of Jesus. I cover my children in the blood of Jesus. I cover my parents in the blood of Jesus, because I know that the blood of Jesus has paid it for me. The blood of Jesus has paid for it. The blood of Jesus has paid all. Jesus has paid it all. Jesus has paid it all. Jesus has paid for it. Therefore, you don't have to die. You shall not die. I shall not die, but we will live to proclaim and do the work of the ministry. We shall feed the sick. We shall nurture the sick. We will clothe the naked. We will minister to those that are hungry. We will have prison ministry. We will live. We will live to fulfill the destiny of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall not die. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. We have to pray, brethren. This Sunday morning, we need to engage in warfare. We need to engage in warfare. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want you to grab a partner, grab the person next to you. Grab somebody next to you. And you're going to pray for that individual as that individual is praying for you. And the first prayer point is, Lord, thank you for keeping this individual to this day. Thank you for keeping them till 2014. Father, you kept them this far. Keep them all the way. That the person that I'm holding, they will not die. I will not hear bad news concerning you, my brother. I will not hear bad news concerning you, my sister. You will not die. The God that kept you up to now, this 2014, he will keep you all the way. Say to them, you will cross over into 2015 in the name of Jesus. I will not hear bad reports concerning you. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Cover your brother, cover your sister. We're covering one another in this last hour with this last leg. We will not hear, say, my brother, my sister, I will not hear any bad news for you or about you. In the name of Jesus, say, my brother, my sister, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will keep you. He kept you this far. He'll keep you all the way. He will keep your family. He will keep your husband. He will keep your children. He will keep your siblings. He will keep your parents. In the name of Jesus, we will not hear of any bad news. Lord, I thank you for my sister. I thank you for my brother. They shall not die. Pray for your brethren. Pray for them. For the rest of the year, this last 2 weeks that is left in 2014, no, you will not die. I say, no, you will not die. No, you will not die. My husband will not die. Your husband will not die. My children will not die. Your children will not die. My parents will not die. Your parents will not die. My siblings will not die. Your siblings will not die. Your children will not die. My children will not die. I shall not die. I shall not die. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want us to pray this prayer still holding on to your neighbor. Devil, you cannot have this one in 2014. You cannot have them for lunch, breakfast, or dinner. In 2014, you can't have them. You can't have them. You can't have them. You cannot have them, devil. Their time is not yet. Death will not visit. Death will not visit in the name of Jesus. Death will not visit. Death will not visit. Death will not visit. Death will not visit. You can't have them, devil. You can't have my sister. You can't have my brother. Oh, you can't have us. You can't have Salvation Center members. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Every member under this umbrella called Salvation Center San Antonio, you can't have them. Devil, you have failed concerning my sister. Devil, you have failed concerning my brother. It's too late for you, devil. You can't have them. You won't have them. They shall not die. They shall not die. No death. No death. We say no to death by the reason of the blood of Jesus. We say no to death by the reason of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Brethren, We have prayed and we have covered ourselves in the blood of Jesus. If the devil can't kill you, he's going to try and scatter you. If he can't kill you, he will try to scatter you. The Bible says that if you want the sheep to scatter, hit the shepherd. Target the shepherd and the flock will scatter. We called home this weekend and we spoke to some individuals that was telling us that it was a pastor who, after prayer meeting on Thursday, everybody left. He said goodbye to everybody. As he was walking out in the parking lot, he slumped and that was it. Gone. Just died right there in the parking lot. We've prayed for ourselves. I want everyone under the sound of my voice, stretch your hands towards this altar and pray for Pastor and his family that the enemy will not strike the shepherd. In this 2014 and even years to come, the enemy will not strike the shepherd in the name of Jesus. Come on and lift up your voice. Cover the pastor in the blood of Jesus. Cover him that the enemy will not have room to strike him in the name of Jesus. The enemy will not strike him. Seal him. Put an edge of fire around the pastor. Call him by name. Pastor Adekoye. The devil will not strike you. Death will not visit you. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice. Cover him in the blood. The Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. We will not scatter in the name of Jesus. Hold our pastor. Preserve our pastor. No evil shall come near his dwelling place. In the name of Jesus. Oh, soak him in the blood. Let the blood speak on his behalf. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. The Bible says we should pray for our leaders. The Bible says we should pray for our leaders and those that labor over us, those that labor in our place, laboring over us, praying over us. The Bible says we should pray for them too. Say, Pastor Adekoye, the devil will not have you in the name of Jesus. The devil cannot strike you in the name of Jesus. By the power in the name of Jesus, the devil will not strike you, will not strike your household in the name of Jesus. The devil cannot have you, Pastor Adekoye. The blood of Jesus is for you, it's working for you in the name of Jesus. The devil can't strike you, the devil won't strike you, the devil can't have you, he can't have your wife, he can't have your children. We soak you in the blood in this 2014 and years to come. You will fulfill your destiny, you will fulfill your assignment in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we soak the pastor of Salvation Center in the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, his family in the blood of Jesus. No evil shall befall him as far as this pulpit. No evil shall come near it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Protect the sheep, oh God. Protect the shepherd, oh God. Protect the shepherd. Protect the shepherd that you have placed to shepherd your people. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, I want you to take your right hand and place it on your belly. And I want you to say, Father, before this year ends, please fulfill all your promises to me. Say, Father, before this year ends, please, Lord, Fulfill all your promises to me concerning my life, concerning my marriage, concerning my children, concerning my business, concerning my academics, concerning all that concerns me. Fulfill your promise to me. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice before this year runs out, oh Lord. There's 2 weeks left. 2 weeks left before this year runs out. Fulfill all your promises to me. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises to me. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, fulfill your promises to me. Le baba skorada. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises. Lord, fulfill your promises to me. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises to me. Before this year runs out, fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises. Fulfill your promises to me. Fulfill your promises to me. Fulfill your promises to me. Fulfill your promises to me, oh God. Fulfill your promises to me. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Now, I feel led to do this for as many of you that have a personal prayer request. For 2014, there's something you've been asking God, Lord, do it. This year is what I want. Do it this year. You have a personal prayer request. Choir, I would like for you to please come and minister. I want you to come to this altar. And I want you to lay your hand on this altar. And I want you to say that prayer request to God and ask him. It may not be everybody. We may have covered it for you. But if you have a personal request, 2 weeks is nothing for God. 2 weeks is nothing for God to still fulfill it. I feel led in my spirit, and I want you to come to the altar. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. Tell Jesus about it. There's nothing too difficult for him. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart, they rolled away.
There's something you want to speak to God about. There's something.
He was there by
the grace is available right now.
I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I
Father, you're the God that answers prayers. Meet them at the point of your need. Meet them, Lord. Don't let their service be in vain. Meet them. Available for you. Put that thing in the blood. Put that thing in the blood. God will meet you and answer your prayers.
Father, as these ones are before you in the name of Jesus, Father, answer them, give them that request, that they may know that you are a God that answers prayers, that they may testify in the new year. Father, everyone under the sound of my voice shall cross over to the other side. We shall not be left on this side, but we shall cross over to the other side. You shall be blessed going out. You shall be blessed coming in. No death will come near your dwelling place. No death shall visit your homes. It shall be well with you for the rest of the year. You will cross over into 2015. I said you will cross over into 2015. You will cross over into 2015 in the name of Jesus. Now you will not cross over with disease. You will not cross over with pain. You will not cross over with sorrow. You will not cross over with diabetes. You will not cross over with issues. You will not cross over with high blood pressure. You will not cross over with depression. You will not cross over with anything that is bringing you sadness. But those things will be left in 2014. Everything that is giving you a heartache, I separate it from your life right now. I separate it from your life right now. Let it go down with 2014. But you shall not go down. But you will rise. You will rise. You will rise. You will rise. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise, oh God. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Because we know you have done it. We shall celebrate. We shall celebrate. We shall celebrate. We shall rejoice. There is rejoicing in your homes. I hear the sound of rejoicing in your home. I hear the sound of rejoicing in your home. It is well with you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And the people of God say, as we're going back to our seats, let us share the grace and fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Scripture of the month. The scripture of the month this month is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 65, verse 11. We're going to say it together with this actual quote of scripture. Let's say it together. One, two, three, go. Psalm 65, verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drops fatness. Your path will be dropped. The fatness of God will drop in your path. In the name of Jesus, you will overflow with the blessings of God. To the right and to the left in the name of Jesus. The people will see you and they will say, I want to serve your God. Take me to your God. Because if your God can do this in your life, surely he's worthy of serving. So shall it be for you. You shall not be a signboard leading others but not going anywhere. But you shall be an example of his glory. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you in spirit and in body. In Jesus' mighty name, say to the righteous, it is well with you. It is well with you. It is well with me. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead. First timers, if this is your first time, we would like to meet with you very briefly, not very long, but very briefly. This two wonderful people, this gentleman and this beautiful young lady, is going to be meeting with you in our welcome center. So if you can, please come with them, and they will not take too much of your time. If this is your first Sunday here, we just want to meet with you very briefly. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, this Saturday is food distribution, J Factor, 9 a.m. If you can come a half hour early, about 8:30, for a quick training, that would be great. If you can come at 8:30 for a quick training, that would be wonderful. God bless you in Jesus' name.